On today's podcast, we have our first head coach of the podcast, Dave Richards, the head coach of Chatham University. We talk about the interview process, having your own team at a young age, what he has learned his first 2 years running a program, how he runs practices and scouts, and what he learned from every head coach he's worked for and uses today.
You're tuned in to the Undercover Coaches Podcast, the podcast that serves as a secret weapon to coaches around the world. We bring you the best coaches that are behind the scenes of the game. Here's your host, Andy Stark.
What's up, guys? We have Chatham University men's basketball head coach on the line, Dave Richards. Dave, thanks for joining the Undercover Coaches Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. We're excited to have you. No pressure here, coach. You're the first head basketball coach we've had on the podcast, so it's an honor.
I'm happy to be on.
So, for Dave, for those that don't really know your coaching background, just give us a quick rundown.
Gotcha. Yeah. So the last 2 years, I've been the head coach at Chatham University. Before that, I was an assistant coach at Merrimack College Division II school for 2 years. Worked for Joe Gallo. And before that, I was a director of operations at Robert Morris University. I was the ops guy for 4 years. And then my first 2 years there, I was the video coordinator. Mm-hmm. And then with a little break in between Robert Morris, I was an assistant at West Virginia Wesleyan for a year.
Mm-hmm. Who were the two coaches? Who was the coach at Robert Morris and then West Virginia Wesleyan, for those that don't know?
So my first year at Robert Morris, the head coach was Mike Rice. And then the next five was Andy Toole. And at Wesleyan, it was Pat Beilein.
Right. So you've been around really, really good head coaches, and I'm sure that played a big part in you being a good head coach at Chatham.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate to work for some very good coaches that know a ton about hoops, and they've definitely helped me out, become the head coach today.
All right, guys, we got Dave on the 30-second shot clock. You ready, coach?
Ready to go.
All right. Best Final Four city you've been to?
Have to go San Antonio. Big fan of the Riverwalk.
Seems to be the consensus. Up three with 5 seconds left. You're on defense. You fouling or defending?
We're fouling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. NBA team or Euro team that is running the best stuff right now?
I've been watching a lot of Boston Celtics with Brad Stevens stuff, so I'll go with the Celtics.
Okay. Who is the best team you guys played this year?
Best team we played this year. Even though we scrimmage them, I've heard to say La Roche. I thought they were the best team we played.
Mm-hmm. Best coach in the pack other than yourself?
Tough one. A lot of good coaches in our league. I'll have to go with Steve Lamy from Grove City.
Mm-hmm. Had a great run this year. Most popular person cell phone number you have in your phone?
There'd be a lot of people that think I should say their names, but I'll have to go with John Beilein.
Okay, last time you caught a fish?
6 years old.
Okay, what would your superpower be if you could have one?
Well, that's a good one. I'm going to go with teleporting.
Like that. Make recruiting a lot faster.
Exactly, yeah, bounce around from place to place.
The last thing you dressed up as on Halloween?
It's either a old school basketball player or Mario.
Okay, okay. Your favorite go-to order from your hometown?
That's a tough one. I'm actually going to split it up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go an appetizer from Buzz and Rich's, strawberry hot wings, and then I'm going to go to Pegley's and get the penne and pink with grilled chicken and hot peppers.
Okay, okay. Last question for you on the shot clock. You're playing in a Chatham intramural basketball game. After this quarantine's done, how many points do you score?
Well, I was always more of a distributor, so I'd say I'd probably go for 19 points, 12 assists.
Woo, those are monster numbers. Bad intramural players there at Chatham. All right, guys, we're back here with Dave. Dave, how are you and the staff handling the quarantine? And then kind of just talk about how you're staying connected with your players and your staff and anything that you're studying. Especially, I know you talked about the Boston Celtics, but anything like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a difficult time right now. I hope everyone's staying safe and staying healthy right now. But we've done a good job, my staff and I, just staying connected through texts, phone calls. We've done a few Zoom meetings. Just trying to, you know, finish the year out with making sure our guys are finishing out their academics, finishing out recruiting. So we've done a good job staying connected, but, you know, it's definitely different, difficult. You know, with our players, you know, it's text, FaceTimes, you know, at least once or twice a week just to, you know, stay in their ear, make sure they're finishing out strong, you know, getting some summer plans together for them, some summer workout plans, hopefully they can get back in the gym. Mm-hmm. But just staying connected as much as we can to keep those relationships. And then, you know, studying wise, it's been great. The NABC has done a great job of having different speakers every week. Mm-hmm. And they've got a ton of different coaches from all levels and just a ton of different information offensively, defensively, culture-wise that we've been able to kind of look at. I've seen some very good speakers. I just watched Ben McCollum from Northwest Missouri State, mm-hmm. Division II school. They've been like 62-1 the last 2 years, mm-hmm. And it was great. I watched a really good one on John Baines from Elmhurst College, Division III school. He talked a lot about offensive stuff. You know, Jay Billis was on there. I mean, just a ton of different stuff you can learn from. So that's been great.
Yeah, no, I've watched a lot of them myself, and they've been great. And it's definitely a different time because usually right now we're out there signing 4, 5, 6, 7 players. So now you're kind of more staying at home. So now you're watching all this stuff, and I think I've gone through 3 notebooks already, probably like you have. So it's different, but it's been exciting. You got to stay engaged. So
yeah, even though you kind of can't go out and recruit and see guys, it's a good time for you kind of learn and kind of become a better coach without really going anywhere.
Right.
There's so many different resources you can use, even just going on Synergy and watching other teams play. Mm-hmm. You know, I've watched a bunch of offensive stuff from Rochester, Penn State, Brandon, Nebraska, Wesleyan, just to get different ideas for next year. I mean, you could always become a better coach, even though you can't go out and, you know, recruit right now.
Right. So kind of going through the quarantine, how has that changed the way? I know you still have to fill a couple spots on your roster. How has that changed the way you've recruited?
Yeah, I mean, end of March and April was a, you know, big time for us last year, and we had planned to have a lot of kids come visit campus. So it's definitely changed how we recruited. You know, we've done some Zoom meetings with recruits. Our admission staff has actually done a terrific job. They've put a virtual tour of our campus together. Mm-hmm. And we have recruits go through that. So we're just finding different ways to attract recruits and get them to see Chatham without really coming to campus. Just got to work at it every day. It's different.
Yeah, no, and then going off of that, kind of going off topic here, but Chatham used to be an all-girls school. So kind of talk to us about, you know, the challenges of recruiting guys to the school and, you know, major-wise and how the school's kind of had to adapt. It's a pretty unique situation that you stepped in.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a few people that think Chatham is still an all-girls school. So you always run into, you know, problems and obstacles at schools, and in all schools have those obstacles, but you know, we just have to do a good job of selling our academics, selling our program, and then we also try and sell the city of Pittsburgh in the area that Chatham's in, Shadyside. Mm-hmm. One of the cool things about that area, Shadyside in the Oakland area, you know, you have 4 schools within less than 2 miles, so it's become a really cool college area. Mm-hmm. So even though, you know, Chatham is, you know, 5 years out of being an all-girls school, there's so many things that we could sell about the program to, you know, attract good student athletes to the school.
Right. And I think every, like you said, every school has their own, you know, obstacles, and, you know, yours is a little bit different than most, but you also have a great spot where there's a ton of people and you're in a big city and, you know, you're in a great location. So I think, especially with the guys you've brought in, you've done a great job of really getting the players that fit your culture, but also fit into your university's culture.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
the next thing we'll go into since you're the first head coach we've had, kind of break down your interview process for us that you did at Chatham. Like, were there any tough questions, any situations, any advice? Because we have a lot of young coaches that listen to this mm-hmm. podcast, guys trying to break in. You know, a lot of us haven't had that interview experience, especially as a head coach. So any mm-hmm. tips or anything like that?
Yeah, my interview actually started, I went to dinner with our AD and SID, and that was more of just kind of like a formal process, just like really getting to know each other. And then the next day, it really kind of started the interview. Mm-hmm. You know, I met with admissions, I met with financial aid, I met with the dean of students, our faculty athletic rep, I thought one of the different things at Chatham was, you know, a lot of our workers for game management mm-hmm. are student workers.
Right.
So our student workers run basically our game management stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually met with the student workers, and wow. they were kind of part of the interview process, which I thought was different.
Mm-hmm.
But they also had, you know, they were an important process of it.
Right.
So I thought that was a little different, but it threw me off a little bit. But you know, they've done a great job of, you know, of our game management. So it's good to meet with those people, just get their point of view of Chatham.
Right. And then was there a search committee involved, or was it just the AD, the SID? What was the background on that?
There was no search committee. It was the AD's decision.
Okay.
And he actually leaned heavily on the players mm-hmm. And the other coaches in the athletic department.
Mm.
One of the parts of the interview, I met with, you know, five of the head coaches, and, you know, it wasn't really like a question answer type interview. It was more of just a, you know, kind of a talk where they kind of got to know me mm-hmm. and if I would fit into the athletic department.
Right.
I know the AD leaned heavily on that. And then when I met with the players, one of the things I did, I brought with me, you know, the summer workout program they would go through. Then I brought a highlight tape of like quick actions and plays that I thought would work for them. Mm-hmm. And I had an iPad with me, and we kind of went through that. And I thought they really liked that, and it kind of showed them, you know, ways that I could help them become better players.
No, I think that's a great idea. That's a unique aspect. I know most of the people that we've had on here that have had head coaching interviews, or people that I've talked to, you know, off the podcast, talk about, oh, well, I meet with the players. I think that's a great idea. So you had stuff clipped up on Synergy and whatnot, just actions that you think would work good for those guys. Obviously, you probably studied the players before you got there. You knew a little bit about them.
Yeah, exactly. And knowing they had a big senior class coming back, and I knew those guys, they wanted to win their last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of sold them on the idea of like, this is your last year. It's all or nothing. And we didn't have, just because they had a bad year the year before, it didn't have to be their senior year too. We could win right away if they bought in to what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. And obviously you did a good job with that, winning the pack your first year as a head coach, you know, first time at Chatham. So it's an incredible story. You don't really see it too much. So
thank you.
But now going back, you were at Merrimack, obviously, another just incredible story, you know, them winning the NEC this year, first year going from Division II to Division I. Obviously, me and you know how good of a coach Coach Gallo is, but, you know, did you see all this happening, you know, the first year they're going Division I? Why were they so good this year, basically?
I mean, I thought they'd be really competitive. Mm-hmm. You know, they had four starters back from a team that won the NE10 tournament championship and made the NCAA tournament.
Which is a great league, Division II league.
The NE10 is an unbelievable Division II league. There's so mm-hmm. many good players, so many good teams in that league. So I knew with those guys coming back, I thought they would be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Did I think they would win the NEC like that? No, but I mean, it just kind of goes to show you when you have a group of, you know, a group of seniors that are talented,
mm-hmm.
I mean, anything could happen. And I think, you know, one of the things with Coach Gallo, he brought a unique system to the NEC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they run a extended 2-3 zone
right.
that has some different slides and different rotations that I think people haven't really seen. Then offensively, they really slowed the game down, you know, and run a lot of the two-guard offense,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of different what a lot of NEC teams run.
Right. You know, you think of the NEC, it's very up-tempo. Pace of play is actually one of the highest in the country. You know, just because our coach's son, Andy Nyland's the GA at St. Francis, PA, so I've kind of watched a lot of NEC games. But you're right, Merrimack really takes the air out of the ball, but they really are really, really efficient in the sets they run. So it is a big change, and I'm sure the NEC is loaded with athletes. They want to get out and run. So I think it's an interesting style, and obviously it worked this year. I'm really excited to see how Merrimack grows going forward.
Yeah, and also helps to have one of the best players in the league too. I mean, their point guard, Javaris Hayes,
mm-hmm.
He's just an unbelievable player. He's a walking triple-double.
Right.
So, I mean, having good players also helps too.
Right. Now, talking about good players a little bit more, what do you look for more specifically right now at Chatham, but you can kind of give us an overview at any position you'd be at in your coaching career. What do you look for when you're identifying a recruit? Like, what do you think works for you? What's a no-no? Kind of just bring us through that process.
Gotcha. I mean, first and foremost, I mean, we recruit talent. You got to bring in guys that are going to help you win games. Mm-hmm. But it's also the other stuff you got to look into too. I mean, especially at the Division III level, and you know this now, you got to get guys that are hardworking and truly love the game. Mm-hmm. Because we can only work with them from October 15th to the end of our season. So right. 7 months out of the year, you can't be on the court with them.
Right.
Now, you can give them workouts, you give them shooting workouts, you can give them lifting workouts. But they got to be the ones that kind of go out and improve themselves from year to year. Right. So if you can get guys that truly love the game and are going to be gym rats and work out, that's just going to help your program. So those are the kind of guys we want on our team, want in our program, that want to get in the gym, you know, that want to get better, that want to be coached. I think if you get a lot of those guys, you can really become a good program, which obviously Coach Nyland at Penn State Barron has done a terrific job of that. I just think that's the most important thing, is just getting guys that truly love the game.
Right. No, I think that's powerful. And, you know, some coaches are specifically looking for shooting, defense, this or that. But I really like that answer. I know when I worked for Coach Schmidt at St. Bonaventure, he always said to the recruits, I remember this specifically. He said, there's two types of people that come into this program. There's guys that turn left and they go to their dorm room. And there's guys that turn right and they go and work out in the Riley Center and get better. He's like, if you're going left to your dorm room, you're not going to be in our program very long. And that's why there are a lot of transfers from Bonaventure, because if you're not willing to work and you're not a blue collar dude, you're going to be out of there quick. So I especially think that's true, like you said, in the Division III level, because like you said, it's a bunch of crap, but for 7 months, we're not allowed to even really do anything with our guys basketball wise. So
yeah, if there's a guy in the gym and you step on the court, it's a violation. So
right.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's for the most important thing we look at, is we really want guys that love the game and want to get better and want to be coached. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's the other thing, you know, they're good students. They care about their academics. Mm-hmm. We want guys that, you know, bring energy to our program. We don't want moody guys and guys that pout all the time. We want guys that, you know, are energy givers, not energy takers.
Right. Now the next part, just if you could use one word for those of us that don't really know a lot about Chatham basketball, what's one word you would use to describe your program?
One word. You know, I'm going to go with relentless.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've kind of developed a relentless attitude in our program, where our guys don't back down and they don't give up. I think you can kind of see that in our practice habits. I think you can kind of see that in games too. I mean, we've numerous times we've been down, you know, double digits, and our guys didn't waver, you know, didn't pout. They fought back. Mm-hmm. I kind of think that's, you know, what we kind of want in our program. And I think it's just getting better year to year.
Right. So the next thing, you kind of talked about practice and practice habits, stuff like that. Just kind of take me through a typical practice. You know, you can break it up if you want to do like that little bit of the chunk of the preseason, then midseason, postseason, whatever, however you want to do it. Just kind of talk about your practice. How much one-on-one do you guys play? How much do you work on shooting in practice? Kind of just elaborate on that for me.
Gotcha. You know, to start practice, probably about 10 to 15 minutes before practice actually starts. We'll split the court up, you know, bigs and guards, and mm-hmm. just get some skill workout. And whether it's just, you know, some shooting, you know, shooting out of our offense, some ball handling stuff, just to get them loose or whatever. And the start practice, we usually start with a warm-up drill, which we'll make competitive to get the competitive spirits flowing. And then after that, we kind of do some breakdown drills. And more times, it's going to be more defensive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll work on closeouts, you know, jumping to the ball. We'll work on defensive rotations. It may be a live 3-on-3 segment. It may be a live 4-on-4 segment. But the first part of practice is going to be like a warm-up drill, and then kind of breaking down our defense, working on, you know, the basics of our defense. And then from there, we may do a breakdown offensive segment, like just, you know, something we call just as simple as ball screen shooting. Mm-hmm. Where we, you know, come off a ball screen, we throw back for a shot. Come off a ball screen, drive and kick. Just to work on a simple concept of our offense, but to get guys shots and get them used to, you know, driving off a ball screen. So the first part of practice is going to be more breakdown stuff. And then we'll flow into some transition stuff. You know, we do a drill almost every day. It's called Circle the Wagons. The guys get pretty fired up about it. It's just a simple transition drill. You know, we work on flying down the floor. And it's competitive. It's about 5-6 minutes long. You know, loser usually has a suicide or a 10-10 if they lose. So it's really, really competitive. And then towards the end of practice, we work on our 5-on-5 stuff. It's when we really break down our offense. We'll probably spend 25 to 30 minutes on our half-court offense, diving into our sets, diving into our reads. And we'll usually finish practice with a shooting drill.
Okay. You guys do a lot of 5-on-5 when you're working on your offense, or is it depend on the day?
More times than not, we're working on our offense 5-on-5, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're really able to see the reads, and I know you guys kind of play two-guard offense just like we do at Penn State Barron, but so a lot of it is read-based, so I take it you really do have to play 5-on-5.
Yeah, I mean, we spend a lot – towards the end of practice, a lot of it is 5-on-5 working on our offense. Now, at that same time, we're still working on our defense,
mm-hmm.
But we really focus on that last part of practice. Focusing on our offense.
And then, so you said you kind of shoot, you have a shooting in the beginning and then you kind of shoot at the end. Do you have like an expectation that guys get shots up like during the day, or you're getting enough shots up in practice, or, you know, kind of give me your take on that?
In practice, we'll probably do 2 to 3 shooting drills a practice.
Mm-hmm.
And they could be as simple as the one drill we do every single day. We call it 12-on-59. Where you got 3 guys at a hoop, you got 1 shooter, 1 rebounder, 1 passer, and they got to make 12 threes in 59 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically get that done in basically 3 minutes. So we'll do 2 to 3 drills, shooting drills of practice, but we also make guys come in outside of practice and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of really see then who wants to get better, the guys that are in the gym getting shots up.
Right, and that all ties back into the guys that you recruit. You know, and yes. The guys that love the game. So it all comes down to recruiting, obviously, but and you need guys that love the game, like you said, you know, so it makes a good point. If they love the game, they're getting in the gym, they're getting better, makes you look like a better coach. It helps.
Exactly. And we don't do a ton of one-on-one in practice.
Mm-hmm.
It might be something we do more of. We just haven't done that a mm-hmm. lot in the past. But it does help you out, I think, just working on making plays one-on-one.
Right.
We'll do more stuff 3-on-3 and 4-on-4. Mm-hmm. But that might be something we look into in the future, one-on-one stuff.
Right. Now, being a young head coach coming into a program that, you know, Coach Garcia did a good job, but he was fighting an uphill battle every single day just getting guys into that school. Kind of talk to me about how you're able to gain your guys' trust being a young head coach and, you know, how they listen to you and respect you and all that.
Yeah. And at first, I just tried developing a good relationship with all the guys.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's like one thing I tell guys is my office door is always open. You can come in and talk to me whenever you want. It doesn't got to be about basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to just develop very good relationship with those guys, but also be honest and open with them about what I expected from them and what I thought their roles would be too. So I think if you have honest, open communication with guys, is you get their respect.
Mm-hmm.
And they start to trust you.
Right.
And then I also think, you know, my background of coming from very good programs helped me out as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, being at Robert Morris, that's, you know, in contention, make the NCAA tournament every year. They've won multiple conference championships. Being at Merrimack, we won the NCAA tournament twice. I think that helped me out a ton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys see that, you know, and I think that gained some respect. And then I think what helped out a ton was my first year is we had success early. So guys seeing their hard work
mm-hmm.
Pay off early.
Right.
We started the year out 3-0. We beat Carnegie Mellon the second game of the year. It was the first Chatham win versus Carnegie Mellon ever. So guys seeing that success early and their hard work paying off, I think was huge for our team and our culture.
Mm-hmm. Now, kind of talking about your culture then, you know, we're watching The Last Dance, all that Jordan stuff. We're talking about championships and chasing greatness. Now, kind of, I've done a little study on this, so I'd be interested to get your take on it. But there's some programs talk about a championship every single day. You know, Phil Jackson, the first thing he talked about was winning a championship. We're going to win a championship. And then there's other programs that talk about, they don't talk about a championship ever. You know, they're talking about, well, we're just going to get better today. We're going to get better tomorrow. Let's just get better day by day. Kind of, what's your culture like at Chatham? What's your take on that?
We don't talk about championships a lot. They may be brought up to prove a point. But for the most part, it's just trying to get better every day. And it's one of the things we talk about in our first team meeting, is try to win everything we do. You know, whether it's a lifting workout, you know, whether it's a practice, you know, every single drill we do, every rep we do, you know, every test you take in class, just try to win every single segment you do. And that makes you a better player, makes you a better person, makes you a better team. So we kind of more focused on just, you know, winning those little battles rather than talking about, you know, winning a championship as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is kind of off the question here, but do you guys track anything basketball-wise? You know, for example, deflections, offensive rebounds, is there anything that you guys chase statistically-wise that you think helps you guys win games?
I'm trying to think what we stat. There's not really a single, you know, statistic that we stat. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll kind of break down our defense possession wise and seeing kind of where we get beat on a game to game basis. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's our ball screen defense, whether it's our rebounding, whether if it's our transition defense. Mm-hmm. So it's not really a stat we kind of do every day. It's more of kind of a game to game thing that we can get better on.
Okay. Now getting back on track to taking over program. What is your advice for a young coach that will be taking over program, just got their first head coaching job? Any advice, any, you know, tips or any, just any experiences you had that you were unexpected, you know?
Yeah, I'd say first, you know, develop a relationship with the players you got coming back. I think that's the most important thing. Because those are your guys now. Whether you recruited them or not, they're your guys now. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important to, you know, to develop that relationship with those guys. Then also, you know, go meet with admissions, go meet with financial aid, meet with the other coaches, meet with professors on campus, especially at the Division III level. Admissions, financial aid, those are going to be key components in the recruiting process. So the better relationship you have with those people, you know, it just helps you out in recruiting. So I think that's just a big key for first-time coaches, especially at the Division III level.
Right. So you kind of think sometimes young coaches, and I think I've kind of seen this myself, is they go into a place and they're so focused on coaching and basketball that they forget to cultivate relationships around campus, is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that's a huge, huge part, especially for the beginning of your job. I mean, if you get the job in, you know, April, May, June, July, you're not playing till October 15th. Mm-hmm. So there's so many other ways you can make your program better before you even step on the court.
Right. Now, going back to your program here, what do you look for when you're looking to hire an assistant coach? You know, you've had a couple now. What are you looking for specifically in an assistant coach that, you know, pops out in your head that, oh man, I like this guy, he's good?
Obviously we want hard workers. We want guys that love the game. We also want guys that are going to push me to be better. Mm-hmm. We don't want yes guys. We want guys that, you know, going to come make our team better, throw ideas out, get our players better, be in the gym with our guys, you know, be creative, you know, just be outside the box. Mm-hmm.
Your brother, he's on staff at Arizona. How much do you guys talk hoops?
We talk a lot. I mean, probably almost on a daily basis we talk. It may not always be about hoops, but especially during the season, I'm bouncing ideas off him all the time. You know, how do you guys guard this? What do you guys do against that? I mean, he has so many resources there that he can kind of help me out with. I'm always bouncing ideas off him.
Okay, what's one thing that you think the last year he helped you with as a being a head coach? What's one thing he gave you?
One thing he gave me, we were going into playing Allegheny and they ice a lot of ball screens and we never really seen that. And he kind of sent me an edit, of how they, attack icing ball screens.
I like that. Now, the last question, we wrap this up with every single person that we've had on the podcast. Just, what is one thing you take from each of the head coaches that you've worked for? Because you work for some really great head coaches that you are able to transfer them to you as a head coach today. What's one thing from each guy?
You know, Andy Toll, he's one of the most energetic, competitive coaches I've ever been around. Mm-hmm. There's not a day that goes by that he's not the most energetic guy in the room. And he always said, you know, if you want your team to play with energy, they got to start with you. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, you know, I kind of brought that with me to Chatham. I try to be the most energetic guy in the gym. And I definitely learned that for him because there's not a day that he turns a switch off.
Right. And I follow them on Twitter and Instagram, and, you know, Jimmy Langhurst is a good friend of mine. Just what do they do in their shoot arounds? They got guys doing planks. They got managers running sprints. It's incredible. What's that all about?
It's whatever it is. It's awesome. everyone buys into it. They got guys clapping. They got guys screaming. The gym's filled with energy and it's great.
I like it. Now go to, you know, Coach Beilein at West Virginia Wesleyan at the time.
Yeah, Coach Beilein, he was a more laid back coach. But a lot of the offensive concept we use now at Chatham, I learned from him. Mm-hmm. He was very, very good offensive coach. A lot of the shooting drills we use now at Chatham, I got from him. Mm-hmm. He really dives into the offensive side and is a very good offensive basketball coach.
Okay, and then Coach Gallo.
Yeah, Coach Gallo, I spent a lot of time with Coach Gallo. You know, I was an assistant with him for 2 years at Merrimack. Mm-hmm. And then three of my years at Robert Morris, he was an assistant coach.
Right.
You know, and I'd always bounce ideas off him when I was ops there. I still do it now. And he's probably one of the best guys I've seen at scouting reports and drawing up game plans. Mm-hmm. He's extremely detailed in all that stuff. And I kind of learned that watching him at Robert Morris, you know, do a lot of the scouting reports. And at Merrimack, I mean, we'd had offensive game plans for every game, and he would kind of dive into that. And I kind of brought all that stuff with me to Chatham.
Right. What makes him so good, you know, a little more specifically? Because obviously he's definitely a coach that people need to start studying because he was able to go from Division II to Division I, win a championship in 1 year. So he's obviously really successful.
Yeah, he's not afraid to make changes to his style. Mm-hmm. Like when we initially got to Merrimack, we didn't realize how good of a point guard we were going to have in Javaris Hayes.
Yep.
And then once we kind of figured out how good he was, we kind of scrapped a lot of things we want to do with like the two guard stuff. It's a lot of reads. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of passing and a lot of cutting where we changed that to almost setting him up for a lot of quick hitting ball screen action so he can get down the floor and make plays for our team. So he's just good at seeing how what the best thing is for your team and then changing your style of play so it fits that way.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what you need to do. And, you know, that you just always have to be adapting to the game or else the game's going to get rid of you. So that's good advice.
You can kind of see that in his team this year compared mm-hmm. to his last year in Division II, right. Where his last year in Division II, they might have been one of the fastest playing teams in the NE10. And then you go to the NEC 1 year later with the same exact team, and they're one of the slowest playing teams in Division I.
I think that's about to wrap it up for us, Dave. Is there anything else you want to talk about real quick?
I'm all set. I appreciate having you on here. Had a great time. It was great.
Yeah, no problem. I really, really appreciate you jumping on. Again, first head coach, I thought you did a great job, and excited for them to be able to hear this. So I appreciate it, Dave.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Undercover Coaches Podcast with Andy Stark. And don't forget, if you like what you're hearing, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss another episode. For more content, follow our Twitter at UndercoverBball and DM us if you have something to bring to the podcast.